Sairam listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashant Kiralyam, giving you live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, and as the devotees are lined up to have a close glimpse of our Lord, it's now time for us to get back to the studios to continue with the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignasa. And along with me is Praveena sir to continue with the importance, the significance and the intricacies of the Vedic chanting. So, Sairam sir.
Sairam to all.
So, without any further delay sir, and with a prayer from our hearts that Swami should speak through us, every thought, every word and every deed of us should be His.
Yes, yes. We and offer with, to Him.
Yes, sir. With that inspiration and with that prayer, we shall start the class with the Ganapati Prarthana, sir.
We'll chant together.
Gananantva Ganapati Gumhavamahe Kavinkavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anishrunvannoti Bhissida Sadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajevir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Om Sri Sairam, we have been discussing about the various aspects of the Vedic chanting and how the slight variations that we are able to find in different Vedic mantras. There is a branch which is called Shiksha. I am sure you are all familiar with this. One of the Shadangas, Shiksha, Vyakarana, Chandasu, Jyotisha, Kalpa, Nirukta, we have Shadangas. They are also called Vedangas. This particular text, the Shiksha, deals with all the rules and regulations regarding the chanting of these Vedic mantras, the phonetics. As I had mentioned earlier, in the one of the sessions earlier, so the phonetics or the Shiksha, there are different types of Shikshas which actually govern the rules regarding the chantings in the Vedic of the Vedic mantras. And I'm sure we are all familiar with the Panini. Panini's
grammar.
Grammar. I'm sure you must be knowing the word text written by Panini, which deals with all the rules and regulations regarding the basic Sanskrit language. Panini's Ashtadhyayi. So yes. This Ashtadhyayi, which is a very famous book, yet very authentic for all of us, the present-day Sanskrit, and you can see all the rules of Sanskrit morphology, and as the very name indicated here, Ashtadhyayi, it has 8 chapters, and altogether 3,959 rules. Okay, we call them sutras, and now this list of rules which are applied, okay, and you can see very commonly seen in all these Vedic mantras and the basic Sanskrit with which the mantras are written. And now this Shiksha, the basically phonetics, and as a Vedanga, it deals with the correct pronunciation. But there is a book called Shiksha Sangraha, which contains a collection of 32 systems of Shiksha. 32 systems. So these systems relate to different shakhas of all the 4 Vedas. So that's how we have the Paniniya Shiksha, which is very commonly being used, applied. But apart from that, we have even Yajnavalkya Shiksha, Vasishta Shiksha, etc. Especially these 2 Shikshas are related to the Vajasayani Samhita. I'm sure you must be knowing what is Vajasayani. It is a Shukla Yajurveda. So that's how you can see these 2 texts are connected with the Vajasaneyi Samhita. So they have a detailed account of the differences between mantras, okay, in the Rig Veda and Yajur Veda. That's why earlier also we were thinking, and you also raised question, why some of the mantras are chanted little differently in Rig Veda and Yajur Veda and also Samaveda. Yes, this is the reason. There is a specific Shiksha which is related to that particular Veda and also the branch of that particular Vedam.
Yes.
And we also have other the Shiksha such as Katyayini Shiksha, then Parashari Shiksha, Madhyandana Shiksha, the Keshavi Shiksha. Then also one important Shiksha which is related to Samaveda, Naradiya Shiksha. So that's how we got all these different Shikshas which are very, very specific regarding the way in which we chant these Vedic mantras. Earlier, we are discussing the one common mantra that we very commonly chant in almost all the occasions, that's the Ganapati Prarthana mantra. Om Gananantva Ganapatim Havamahe. But how it becomes Ganapati Gum Havamahe? So you can see these slight variations. So these actually based on the Shikshas and the application of the rules contained in the Shikshas, how they are applied and how they are specific to various mantras in the Rig Veda and Yajurveda also. However, we have to remember one more thing. The chanting may be little different. Okay, there could be little variation regarding the Vedic chanting, okay, in these various branches. However, these are variations in chanting between, or there could be variation in chanting between the North Indian style and South Indian style. Okay, if you go to North Indian part and if you go to the South Indian part, you can see slight difference even in Vedic chanting. But you can see this kind of slight variation could be there even across various mats, the mathas. Okay, but each sampradaya or the tradition is correct in its own context. Okay, it has come during the course of last so many hundreds of years, it has come that way. Okay, and that's how you can see various mathas or various system of Vedic chanting, Vedic learning and Vedic propagation, they stick on to the same kind of Vedic chanting. And in their own right, it is correct way of chanting. That's how. But one thing we should remember, the Vedic swaras vary from Rig Veda or even Yajur Veda or even Samaveda. Okay, for the same mantra. However, the Vedartha does not vary despite swara variation.
So the intonations also might vary from shaka to shaka.
From shaka to shaka, under each category, under which each Vedam, there could be some little variation regarding the swaras. However, okay, there is regarding the Vedartha or the meaning which is pertained to that particular mantra or maybe that particular word does not change. It's called vinyoga, application.
Okay.
So application remains same despite the subtle variation that we might find, okay, in these different branches or shakas. And when we discuss even about the swaras, can you tell me, Ganesh, what are the three most commonly used swaras in Vedic chanting?
Udatta, Anudatta,
and Swarita.
Swarita.
Yes.
And Dirga Swarita.
Yes.
These
Dirga
are the ones which we are familiar,
yes,
with.
As all of us know, the Udatta, which is said to be a plain, having a plain note, and usually when you see the script, okay, it's unmarked letter. Okay, however, when you see the Anudatta, there is a horizontal line below a letter and we have to drop the pitch. That's how it's said to be a low note. That's how Anudatta it becomes. However, when we see the other one, a vertical line above a letter, when we chant with the raised pitch, okay, we call it Swarita. So these are the three important swaras, very commonly seen. And also we can see how they are written. By seeing merely the indication, we will be able to make all those modulations of the Vedic swaras by seeing this Udatta, Anudatta, Swara marks. Similarly, we have Dirgha Swarita, which is marked by having double line above a letter, where we have to raise the pitch and stretch it. But sometimes we can hear a little, maybe a wrong way of chanting. Okay, for example, Ganana, Antva, as we chant it. Okay, some people slightly with a little different way they chant, but which may not be correct. They chant, Om Ganana Antva Ganapati Gum Havamahe. So when you say Ganana, so that may not be correct way of chanting. So it has to be raised one pitch, okay, and then stretch it. It is Ganana Antva. So it is a sweet chanting. At the same time, you're not supposed to give a break over there and then continue to give the second pitch. No. It is Om Ganana Antva. So it can be so clear. So that's how the Dirgha Swarita comes. Apart from that, we also have some other common swaras. We got Prachaya, Sannatara, etc., which are very uncommonly being used, although even their presence also not so common as these three intonations that we can see. Okay, similarly we have the Pluta, which is another important swara also, the Pluta. Here, in this case of Pluta, we have actually still longer. See, when you say Rasa Swara, there is only one matra duration to which we are supposed to extend.
To the length of the...
length of the pronouncing that particular letter. It is Rasa Swara. Only one matra duration. But Dirgha Swara, two matra kala. So, extension for two matra duration. But when you say the Pluta, it's still longer. Okay, actually, it's not Dirgha Swarita. But same duration, three or more times.
Any longer example, sir?
We have quite a few, maybe in many of the places where they indicate with the avagraha. Okay, that particular avagraha indicates you are supposed to slightly elongate or extend the elongation. Okay, three or more matras. In fact, even more matras, more than that, it becomes Samavedic style of chanting.
Sir, when we are regularly we keep chanting the Nasadiya Suktam.
Yes.
In the Nasadiya Suktam, we have this, we encounter Adasvidasi.
Yes, exactly. Correct.
Is it?
Yeah, it is also a type of Pluta where the elongation is more than two times.
Okay, sir.
Okay, I'm sure we are also familiar with other context where even Bhriguvalli, there is Etat Samagayan Naste, ha hu ha hu, and there is indication. In fact, during those days, ancient times, how they used to measure how long it has to be. They used to make use of fingers.
Yes.
Okay, the thumb. And how much time it takes to rotate around the palm once, that is in a normal pace, that is said to be one matra kala. And then that's how, based on the time duration that it takes to rotate around the palm, okay, accordingly, even the Samavedic style of chanting, okay, how long each letter has to be elongated, that used to be, they used to decide on that basis.
Yes.
So that's how we have the Samavedic mantra where the elongation is much longer, and that's how sometimes it could be three matras. Accordingly, you can see also in the script, is written two or three times, whatever it is. So that's how the basically Samaveda, which is said to be the basis for even modern or today's the music, that we actually having various swaras or various different types of the singing, etc. But they say it is the Samaveda which is the foundation or the basis for all these things. Okay, that's how we have the swaras which are very, very specific, and each swara follows a certain duration of time to which we have to elongate and then stop. The moment we elongate extra, it becomes wrong.
Yes.
Okay, there are many common mantras even, maybe part of or some of the words or sentences even in Durga Suktam or Medha Suktam. Okay, you can see sometimes we tend to elongate unnecessarily. So it becomes wrong.
So what are the common mistakes that we come across while chanting these basic mantras?
Okay, maybe when you take Medha Devi, can you just chant Ganesh once how the Medha Suktam starts? Leaving alone the Shanti Mantra of it. Okay, you can start, leave the part, yes, Chandasam Rishabho. Mm. But can you start from Medha Devi Jushamana? Then I'll just try to see where the mistake, common mistake is done.
Medha Devi Jushamana Na Aga Advishvache Bhadra Sumanasyamana.
Yeah, you can just stop here. We very often hear the Medha being extended unnecessarily sometimes. Oh, Medha Devi Jushama, not required. Medha is only having two matra extension.
Hmm.
So we need not extend it too much. It's not necessary and it may be wrong also. So it is Om Medha Devi Jushamana Na Aga Dvishvachi Bhadra Sumanasyamana Twaya Jushta Nudamana Duruktan Brihadvadema Vidate Suvira. So anything that is extended more than what is required, that becomes mistake.
Okay.
Okay, that's why I personally feel the even chanting of all the mantras with optimum pace, optimum speed is the most correct way of chanting.
Sir, in Sikshavali we come across this particular line, sir. Varnaswaraha Matra Balam.
Yes.
Is it related to this what is being mentioned there?
Exactly. Because Shiksha is basically connected with the rules and other regulations regarding how a particular Vedic mantra has to be chanted.
Hmm.
Okay, Matra Balam. Hmm. Okay, the very word Matra. Okay, Eka Matra, Dvimatra or Trimatra. So that's the duration. With which we are supposed to chant that particular syllable.
Yes.
Highly specific it is.
So Matra Shuddhi, Swara Shuddhi and Akshara Shuddhi are most important.
Yes, yes. And one more thing, as we chant Vedic mantras commonly, we all know Vedic mantras are very, very powerful. In fact, the efficacy of Vedic chanting lies in the Vedic intonations. Sometimes we may not know the meaning at all. We chant. Yet we may chant very correctly. And you may ask, is there any positive vibration that's created when you do not know the meaning, but still you chant.
Mm.
Okay? But there is definitely a benefit, a very profound benefit. Even without knowing the meaning, if you're able to chant correctly, because Vedas or Vedic mantras, the moment they are chanted, they are able to produce positive vibrations around us, which can potentially cleanse us individually and also
the surroundings.
Surroundings.
Yes.
That's how each Vedic mantra chanting has got three important aspects. One is called the Swara Shakti, okay, and the other one is called the Bhava Shakti, okay, and the third one is called Shabda Shakti.
Hmm.
Okay, Shabda Shakti, Artha Shakti, and Bhava Shakti, these three.
Hmm.
Shabda Shakti means merely chanting it in correct way, that is able to produce a certain amount of energy.
Energy.
Okay, positive energy. Okay. At the same time, the second one, that is Artha Shakti, along with chanting the correct way of the Vedic chanting, you also know the meaning. You are able to even visualize what you're chanting. Okay, extra the power is added to it. And the third one is Bhava Shakti. With what feeling you chant? You may chant correctly, you may know the meaning, but your mind is not positive, you are thinking else, something else, and you are not going along with that. So if you are able to even mix, make one your bhava with even swara and also artha, then that is the best way of chanting, I feel. Because all the three powers will be felt, will be experienced, and I think it is the most powerful way of chanting Vedic mantras.
As Swami beautifully tells, sir, Trikarana Shuddhi.
Yes, exactly.
When we have Manasyekam, Vachasyekam and
Karmanyekam
Mahatmanam.
Yeah. So that's how these three aspects are actually part and parcel of Vedic chanting.
Yes.
However, since we may not have that ready access to learn Vedic mantras, or sometimes we may not be able to even make or join the pure feelings with the chanting.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we need not worry, because if we are able to chant correctly, it is able to produce certain amount of energy, which is a positive energy, which is really highly beneficial to all of us.
Sir, very regularly, sir used to tell us examples of how people who have been into Vedic chanting have been protected by the vibrations of this Vedic chanting. Can you quote one example so that people also will get the feel of how powerful it is? Because in these times of coronavirus and all, they can start inculcating the habit of chanting Vedams.
Yes. Chanting Vedic mantras is one thing. Plus, there is in a Karma Kanda, how the various rituals practice is also mentioned. How it has to be done and what are the prerequisites for that. And what are the various the kundas which are made specifically for chanting, etc. So, they are mentioned very specifically in Vedic scripts. And you can see the such homas or yajnas which are done along with the Vedic chanting. Okay, then ahuti is given. Then that actually has got extra power, because we can see that is able to cleanse the atmosphere and we'll be able to shield ourselves from the negative powers.
Yes.
Okay, I still remember one of the important incidents that very I also often quote in various circumstances. That is in the year 1984, the Bhopal gas tragedy, when the methyl isocyanate, the MIC, the poisonous gas, was leaked out from the carbide plant, okay, in the Bhopal, in the city of Bhopal in India. And what happened? It was very bad. This gas and lethal gas which was leaked out from the carbide plant and potentially killed so many people, thousands of people, and made thousands handicapped. But what happened to a specific Agnihotri family which was living very close to the carbide plant? Very close to the carbide plant. Okay, the moment the incident took place, the accident happened, it was in the night, actually midnight, around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and the moment it happened, all the people from the houses, they started running helter-skelter, and they wanted to save themselves. And it was noticed by one of the families, Agnihotri family, its name is Kushwa and his family, having his wife and children. The moment they could make out, everybody started running here and there. The wife was seeing through the window. She woke up the husband also, and she herself started showing some of the symptoms. Too much of coughing and irritation, irritation on the skin, and tearing, watering from the eyes, etc., and not able to bear, and even vomiting sensation. And same symptoms are seen even the children. And they thought they'll also better run from the place. But at that moment, that lady, the wife, said, no, we'll not run. We'll just continue to do the Homa, Agnihotra Homa, here only in this very place. Actually, there the Agnihotri is regularly doing the Agnihotra along the Vedic chanting. And she just suggested, let us do this. And finally, even husband agreed to it. And they started doing this Homa, chanting the mantra. But lo and behold, within 20 minutes, all the symptoms vanished. Now this is recorded. This recorded incident. Both the children, the wife and the S.L. Kushwa, his name, husband, okay, they felt all right. Everything vanished. All the symptoms vanished. And they could save themselves from this accident. Yes. Nothing happened to this family.
Yes.
And later on, scientifically, it was... people started thinking, why only this family? Although very close to the carbide plant, nothing happened to this family. And scientifically, it was shown that something, they shielded them around the house. And finally, they identified nothing but the power, or the power of vibration, and also the Homa that they used to do regularly, that itself, the pure gas, okay, which shielded them from this toxic MIC, methyl isocyanate. So this is the one incident that I am narrating. But there are so many such incidents to prove that the Vedic mantra chanting and also the homas, havanas, yajnas, they can really save us. from all the evil effects.
Yes, so I think with this positive thought that each and every devotee of Swami and each and every person who is into Vedam chanting or even any type of sacred chanting,
yes,
is surely being protected, is surely being like shielded.
Exactly.
From all types of...
Remember, Ganesh, what yes, Swami had told when Swami initiated the Rudram learning from everyone. Swami expected and Swami encouraged everyone to learn Rudram. And when one of the devotees asked Swami, Swami, what is the benefit of chanting this Rudram? It is then Swami said, Rudram chapte bhadranga untaru.
Yes,
so if you chant Rudram, you will be safe and secure. I think
so
God
that much assurance is
yes,
there from Swami
Bhagavan
himself.
Has given.
Yes, sir. So, dear listeners, please do have a prayer in your heart that every individual in this planet should be safe and secure. And please do keep chanting the Vedic mantras that Swami has inspired us to do so and spread that vibration of love, spread that vibration of pure thoughts to everyone living on this planet Earth. So with this prayer and sir, we
yes,
shall
we
end
have.
With the Kshama Prarthana Mantra.
We'll chant together.
Yadakshara pada bhrashtam matra hinantu yadbhavet tat sarvam kshamyatam deva narayana namostute visarga bindu matrani pada padaksharani cha nyunani cha tiriktani kshamasvasa ishvara aparadha sahasrani kriyante harnishanmaya daso yamiti mamatva kshamasvasa ishvara anyadha sharanam nasti tvameva sharanam mama tasmat karunya bhavena raksha raksha sai ishvara harihi om tat sat sri sai ishvara arpanamastu.
So dear listeners, please do write in your feedback and your ideas to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. With this, we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Veda Jignasa program. And on the other side is Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Sai Ram and happy listening.